Greetings, my name is Terry Noel Tao. I'm the host of Tao on Thursday, and I am honored to have been preempted this year for the 26th of John Solomon's magnificent 24 and 25-hour holiday specials. I am also profoundly honored that John Solomon eagerly accepted my suggestion that I make a little presentation about what is most likely the single most famous poem written by a United Statesian. And I speak, of course, of A Visit from St. Nicholas, which was written by a gentleman named Clement Clark Moore. Moore was born on July 15, 1779, the son of Bishop Benjamin Moore, who headed the Episcopal Diocese of New York and who was twice the president of Columbia College, now Columbia University. Charity Clark, Moore's mother, owned the Manhattan estate, Chelsea, where Moore was born. This estate would later pass to his mother and then to Clement Clark Moore himself. He was a graduate of Columbia College, class of 1798, where he earned both his B.A. and his M.A. In 1820, Clement Clark Moore helped Trinity Church organize a new parish church, St. Luke's in the Fields, on Hudson Street. He later gave 66 tracts of land, his apple orchard, to the Episcopal Diocese of New York to be the site of the General Theological Seminary. The seminary is still there. Many of you, I'm sure, have walked past it. It is bordered between 9th and 10th Avenues and 20th and 22nd Street. If you've ever been to the Empire Diner of Sainted Memory, you have been very close to the General Theological Seminary. Moore was a scholar. He had written a Hebrew lexicon, and he was made a professor of biblical learning and Oriental languages at the seminary, a post that he held for many years until his retirement in 1850. Despite his objections to the commissioner's plan of 1811, which ran the new Ninth Avenue right through the middle of his estate, Moore began the development of Chelsea with the help of one James N. Wells. And they divided Chelsea up into lots along Ninth Avenue and sold them to well-heeled New Yorkers. Covenants in the deeds of sale specified what could be built on the land. Stables, manufacturing, and commercial uses were absolutely forbidden. And Moore was also careful about the specification of architectural details on the buildings. Clement Clark Moore penned his famous poem about a visit from Santa Claus while visiting his cousin, Mary McVicar, at Constable Hall in what is now Constable, New York. As I said, it is most likely the most famous poem written in United Statesian English. It is written in rhyming anapests, a meter ideally suited to the subject. The vivid descriptions, especially of St. Nicholas and his reindeer, remain with the reader long after the poem has been read or heard. It is sheer delight, for Moore was interested in entertaining his children, not in preaching to them. The eight tiny reindeer have been given names that trip on the tongue, but there is no listing of specific toys, perhaps because Moore did not want to give his children any hints as to what gifts they would be receiving. Since Clement Clark Moore had written the narrative poem for his family, he made no attempt to get it published. There are various reports about how the poem came to appear anonymously the following year in the Troy, New York Sentinel. Apparently, the verses were transcribed by a house guest who was either Miss Harriet Butler or a friend of hers. In either case, Miss Butler was most likely the person who sent the copy of the poem anonymously to the Sentinel. The editor, Orville L. Holly, published it on the 23rd of December, 1823, together with his praise of the poem and his cordial thanks to whoever had sent him these Christmas verses. The poem was republished numerous times over the years, first in newspapers and other publications, and then in separate illustrated editions. The first of these appeared in 1848, with wood engravings by T.C. Boyd. Since that time, dozens of editions have appeared. The poem has been translated all over the world and printed in Braille and in foreign languages of every kind. It also has inspired many illustrators and artists. A visit from St. Nicholas is largely responsible for the conception of Santa Claus from the mid-19th century to today, including his physical appearance, the night of his visit, his mode of transportation, and the number and names of his reindeer, and the tradition that he brings toys to children. Prior to the poem, American ideas about St. Nicholas and other Christmastide visitors varied considerably. The poem has influenced ideas about St. Nicholas and Santa Claus beyond the United States to the rest of the English-speaking world and way beyond. Remarkably, the folk image of Santa Claus derived from Moore's famous poem bears little resemblance to the figure pictured therein, clad entirely in fur, covered with ashes and soot from his passage through innumerable chimneys, sporting a cherry nose, puffing intently on his stump of a pipe, his head encircled by pipe smoke. Most remarkably, the scale of St. Nicholas and Company envisioned by Moore has been completely overlooked in the popular mind. The sleigh in the poem is miniature, the eight reindeer tiny with each little hoof, and St. Nicholas himself is a jolly old elf described as little three times, little old driver, little mouth, little round belly. Thus, to Moore, the mystery that has perplexed children and parents alike for generations, how does Santa slide down and rise back up the narrow openings of sooty chimneys, was no mystery at all. How little? The influence of Shakespeare and Michael Drayton caused the image of elf and fairy as very small beings to become the norm. In Victorian literature, elves usually appeared in illustrations as tiny men with pointed ears and stocking caps. The only remaining mystery is how St. Nicholas, never Santa Claus in the poem, was metamorphosed from a human being into a tiny elf, and how he acquired the sleigh and reindeer team to match. In another radical departure from Christmas folklore, from Moore's vision, his poem makes no mention that the sleigh can fly over the rooftops. That leaves the mystery of how he visits every child's home on Christmas Eve even greater than in the popular version of Santa Claus. 'Twas the night before Christmas, or more properly, A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Clarke Moore. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my hand and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed, like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."